Okay. Now let us continue from where we stopped. We are now at page 37, part 2, 2.1. This is the one just now they talk about the three type of karmic obstacle. Xuanhua say, be aware of the three karmic obstacle. According to Master Xuanhua, eradication is what the Heart Sutta is capable of doing. That's why when you have wisdom, born of understanding through emptiness, through the Heart Sutta, you will have this ability, that is to do away or cleanse the three obstacles. First one is, they classify as retribution obstacle. Retribution, you know, karmic retribution. Then the next one is activity obstacle. And the last one is affliction obstacle. So primary retribution, there are two types. Primary retribution implies karmically conditioned physical body, like the type of DNA coding, the physical appearance, all those things. So these are the primary retribution. Then the other one is dependent retribution. Both of these are karmic retribution. Implies karmically conditioned living condition or your materialistic inheritance that is born poor or born rich and where you are born into. You don't have a choice because it's dependent retribution. But who you marry to, you do have a choice. Correct? Immanuel. Tao cho toy, how you pronounce? Tao cho tai. Chia cho la. Which is more serious? Which one is more serious? Jia chuo lang. Yeah. So if you want to avoid all this, you must have that Dhamma, that's all. Because all these are retribution obstacle. Yeah, it's karmic retribution. The first one, primary retribution, like your physical body, your DNA coding and all things. You know how it come or not? If you have too much killing, how? Your DNA is very prone to disease, suffering, short life, understand? So that's why this is your DNA coding. If you have a lot of what they call respect for the worthy one or the elders, 14 rules. Ayuk wano sukang palang. The ayuk is long life. That's why you have good DNA. Like my father, my mother, good DNA. That's why you must know how to choose your birth when you choose to come. But if you don't have this Heart Sutta wisdom, you got no choice. You cannot choose to come. Karma say you have to come. Understand not? Have to come means what? You got no say. That's why your last thought moment, don't hope for the best. A lot of people say, wow, learn how to, like they say, meditate before you die. Wow, you don't grasp, you don't cling, you can realize Nibbana. You go and try. Means what? Stomach calling already, only go and look for toilet or construction toilet. It will not be possible. Then dependent obstacle is your living condition, your materialistic inheritance. Like whether you born poor or what, or wealthy. It depends on your karma to understand. If you have like good karmic condition, means you take care of your children well, you provide them properly through your duty, right duty, Then you work diligently. Then you pass your inheritance to them. Then in future you come, you will have parents who will give you good living condition, understand now? Good inheritance. So all this, you will come to understand. That's why I don't complain, no, why my father like that? Last time when you become father, what you do? You neglect your children, you neglect your duty. Then you marry wrong spouse. Don't blame. When you last time mistreat your spouse, you do the same. You go gamble, you drink, smoke, go tai long, borrow, then give problem to your children. So now you become the wife. You got a father, got a husband who had that tendency. Do back to you, understand? Go tai long, borrow money, then you cannot chase after by tai long. So your karmic retribution is dependent on karma. That's why take care of karma. Don't play a fool. Can follow or not? Can understand? Why so quiet? Ayo, you better pay attention. Yeah, you want to have good karma, better learn this Heart Sutta wisdom fast. Then you can do something. Then activity obstacle is what? It implies karmically conditioned livelihood obstacle. Like you have a lot of karmic obstruction while working and living your life. Activity while you live life, you got a lot of karmic obstacle or obstruction. Like last time, past life, you got this type of funny idea. You refuse to give people promotion, or you go and backbite and cause a lot of obstruction to people. Then you come, you cannot back from your colleague who do all this nonsense to you. So this is activity while you live your life, while working. Then affliction obstacle implies karmic conditioning or karmic condition affliction caused by your heedlessness in life. Means you are heedless. That's why all this come. This one is actually not conditioned so much by your past action and all. It's because you are heedless. Then there is condition for heedlessness to give rise to all this suffering. That's why you cannot everything also blame karma. Of course it has to do with karma, otherwise you won't be heedless. But sometimes no need condition from the past. As long as you are heedless, you can violate all the precepts and get yourself into trouble. So that's why karma is not predestined. That is, whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the three evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoop. The Dhammapada verse will take its course. If you want to be happy, then be happy. Sorry, be heedful to train your mind to act, speak, and think without the three evil roots. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. Dhammapada verse 2 will then take its course. Don't blame anybody for your affliction. For according to the Buddha, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of your karma so that your life is taken care of. Do not be heedless. Have goodness and kindness, for you reap what you sow. What you do to others, karmically, it will come back to you. So if you are good and kind to others, karmically, others will be kind and good to you. Because these are the karmic inheritance. The absence of evil is good, so don't try to be good. But instead, just train your mind to be heedful or mindful, so that it's incapable of evil, then naturally you will be good. Those who have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path have no evil, but only wisdom and virtue. Then the next one is, three types of prajna or wisdom as explained by Master Xuan Hua are similar to those of the three turning wisdom of the Four Noble Truths, as explained by the Buddha under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, or his first sermon. And they are, first turning wisdom, proclamation of truth as spoken by the Buddha leading to Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha. Master Xuan Hua called it Prajna of language. See, use the same word. Use a different word, but carry the same meaning. Prajna or language means spoken. Then second turning, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, leading to Cintamaya Panya, wisdom born of constant contemplation, inquiry, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Master Xuan Hua called it the Prajna of contemplative illumination. See? Different word, but same meaning. Contemplate. Then you understand. Means your mind like illuminated. Third turning, meditative training leading to Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of meditative training or meditation as taught by the Buddha. Master Xuan Hua called it the Prajna of characteristics of actuality or ultimate wisdom. So it's the same. When you awaken, you will have the wisdom of seeing things as they are. The characteristic of actuality. Okay, that one finished. The next one is Heart Sutta 10. I have to go through this fast because I got other things to share with you. Pratyo reminds us not to be heedless anymore, but instead strive on with heedfulness. I tell what, can somebody help to move this one out? Yeah? Because this wire is not long enough. Just move over here about 1 feet. Okay, thank you. Enough. Because this wire I had to draw, so there is a tension pulling this mind away. No, it's okay. Remind us not to be heedless anymore, but instead strive on with heedfulness and diligence, making use of the great window of opportunity to cultivate and to gain liberation from birth and death when the Buddha Sasana or his dispensation is still around. This is because according to the Buddha, it's very difficult to be born as a human being. That's why in Mandarin it says, 人生难得. And even more rare and difficult to be born during the era of Buddha Sasana and to encounter the Buddha Dharma. That's why there is a second saying, 佛法难闻. So do follow the advice of the Buddha to strike on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore. For this window of opportunity is indeed very, very, very rare. So please do not be complacent to let it slip away. For you will truly regret how foolish you were if you were to let it slip by. The earlier Heart Sutta short notes that emphasize the following important basic essential teaching of the Buddha are then enough to help you all develop the cultivation, like importance of cultivating the 5 spiritual faculties, importance of having right view with regards to law of karma to follow the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183. So these are all summary of the cultivation. Importance of cultivating heedfulness. So if you follow this few advice and order, you will progress very fast. You will understand very fast. First is the 5 spiritual faculty to counter the 5 hindrance. Then right view. From right view, you will understand how the Buddha's advice come about and how you can actually follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And to do that, you must have mindfulness leading to heedfulness. The important understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha and the 3 turning of the Four Noble Truths, especially its second turning, that is to contemplate, investigate, and to constantly investigate the Dhamma via the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to develop your own understanding via Cintamaya Panya, wisdom born of the second turning. To develop this Cintamaya Panya, one needs to carry on constant inquiry, reflection, and contemplation on the Buddha Dharma or Noble Truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, and not via believing what the Buddha said, and then committing them to memory, and storing this so-called Dhamma up as knowledge. For the true Dhamma or wisdom is an understanding, and it is a living Dhamma that can be experienced and understood from moment to moment. Whereas knowledge and memory are of the past, very rigid and fixed, making you very rigid in your views. So these are important advice. Make a note. Then part two. What are deviant views? Deviant view means deviated or wrong view. And devious view born of delusion that can condition one's suffering and misery. So with that definition, you will understand what constitutes deviant or wrong view. Your Master General like to use this word deviant. What is affliction? Affliction is mental suffering conditioned by one's three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Because they are evil root of all evil. That's why you must avoid them. The unmoving mind of true suchness, the true mind with the enlightenment factor of samadhi and upeka or equanimity. That's why it's unmoving of true suchness. So when the last three enlightenment factor is there, your mind becomes unmoving and it behaves like true suchness. Question. Why did the Buddha specifically state that duration of 7 years maximum or 7 days to realize the enlightenment of at least an anagami if one were to maintain this four foundation of mindfulness or satipatthana practice as taught by him? Then I answer, I said, the four arousing of mindfulness or four foundation of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha is very unique. Because according to the Buddha, this four arousing of mindfulness is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of sorrow, suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the realization of Nibbana. Then the Buddha continued to tell the monk or bhikkhu, verily, O bhikkhu, should any person maintain this four foundation of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, 6 years, 2 years, 1 year, let alone 1 year, for 7 months, 2 months, 1 month, half month, or 1 week, then in him again one of the two fruits is proper to be expected. Wisdom here in the now, or if some form of clinging is still present, the state of a non-returner or anagami. This is the assurance given by the Buddha. So it's worthwhile to give it a try, isn't it? Just sacrifice a maximum of 7 years to cultivate the satipatthana. And your future existence, should you choose to come, is all set and taken care of. There is no more fear, worry, anxiety, sadness and suffering, etc. from now onwards. Worth the while, isn't it? So do strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless. So this is assured in the sutta. So the Buddha must have all-knowing understanding. That's why he knows. If you diligently cultivate that way, you can awaken even in 7 days, which some of his disciples really did it. Then meditation. Do not just believe what has been spoken, but instead investigate into all Dhamma or truth as advised by the Buddha via constant reflection, contemplation and inquiry into all Dhammas to fully understand the three turning of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Once you have developed the three types of corresponding wisdom, you will know how to free yourself and later share your understanding with others so that you too can be a blessing to all. As thought is response to memory, so memory is thought based and is of the past. Hence, when you cultivate based on memory, which is thought and knowledge based, you cannot possibly realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond time. With knowledge, which is not wisdom, you tend to be rigid in your view. So you tend to use words, interpret them according to your views and opinion. You will also have the tendency to argue with people and perceive things as right and wrong. This is what you have to be careful. Then the four right effort within Noble Eightfold Path is all stated there. First right effort, to abandon the unwholesome actions, speech and thought that has arisen. Second right effort, to prevent the arising of all these yet to arise unwholesome actions, speech and thought that needs constant. This one needs constant heedfulness or mindfulness. The third right effort is to arise the right effort to cultivate the appropriate right action, right speech and right thought regularly or constantly. Fourth right effort is to continuously arise the right effort to refine upon the wholesomeness that is already in you until they become perfected, as again just to maintain the wholesomeness as stated in most texts. Okay, next chapter. This one is very good. This is the part I want to share with you. Our true mind or essence of mind is always there. True suchness or zu zu putong in Mandarin. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati and you cannot try to be mindful, because the trying and the practicing or noting and doing etc. all these are always by the thought. If one does not understand this principle of the true mind, that is the essence of mind is already there, and we don't have to do anything to be mindful, because the moment you are silent with inner awareness, you are already naturally mindful and heedful, and you will be able to see things as they are naturally, to understand the truth and the reality arising within the moment. For if we do not stir the mind or cause it to arise the thinking, via our heedlessness or conditioning born of wrong view, then our mind will be quiet and simple without thought. Then it can be aware of this essence of mind, which is the natural state of silent inner awareness before the knowing. Hence, mindfulness or sati, which is the silent inner awareness, will automatically shine forth from the nature within, because man can only do one thing at a time, one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within with your nature or essence of mind, or you are lost in thought and is preoccupied with your activity of mind or thinking and reacting, etc. Just like the energy of the sun is always there and its ray ever shining. But when the clouds are there, its ray cannot shine through. So similarly, your thought, your various emotion, reaction and stirring of mind are like clouds that obscure your true nature or true mind from shining forth. Hence, your inability to see things as they are via the direct seeing with your silent mind or true mind. According to the Sutta on Dependent Origination as taught by the Buddha, the first three links is avijja paccaya sankhara, then sankhara paccaya vijnanam, that is, depend on ignorance arise sankhara or mental activity. Then dependent on sankhara or mental activity arise mind or mental consciousness called vijnanam. This is just a pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing, or the perception and the labeling. That is, there is no one to see or to perceive, objective seeing. As the true sati is without the observer, there is only an awareness of the phenomena or the impersonal process of dependent origination arising from the pure awareness or the essence of mind, which is the unconditioned and without the thought, which is part of the egoic mind. Or as per what the Buddha has often said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness and there is no one to see or observe, because they are all conditioned arising naturally and causal phenomena, dependent originating. So this is the true understanding of anatta within the dependent origination, born of right view, hence no more sakayadity or self-delusion. It is delusion that conditions the living being to cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, or the mundane mind. And this is the main cause of suffering. And because of the first two links, the dependent origination of dependent origination. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. Every moment of consciousness, you will think and stir your mind because of your ignorance that condition your habitual tendency to think the wrong thought. And this is how one becomes heedless. So that's why I say without wisdom, if you don't straighten your view, this link will make you heedless, think a lot. And when you do this, means you don't have understanding. Your wrong view will continue to make you heedless. So no amount of spiritual faculty can help you at that time. But if you have the spiritual faculty, then you use that sati and samadhi to develop wisdom and panya, and then you can understand very clearly. Then you will come to know how foolish you have been in the past. Then you straighten your view. As you straighten your view, you got less ignorant. That's why you got less stirring, less thinking. That's how you become more and more mindful, leading to more and more heedful. And this is how you progress. When you cannot have a mind that is mindful and heedful, there is no progress. Because avijja paccaya sankhara is still active. So if there is no wisdom or yoniso manasikara, which is wise attention at every moment of sense experience, then the mind will be conditioned into craving via the link vedana paccaya tanha. And dependent on feeling, craving comes to be. When there is no wisdom or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Okay, next one is Q&A. Question 1. Why did the Buddha say, verily, O monk, should anyone, not necessarily a Buddhist, who cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, and like before, then the state of a non-returner or anagami, the third stage of sainthood, supramundane enlightenment, will be possible? And why not at least a sotapan or a sakadagami to be expected? So this is the question, why anagami? Then I reply, I say, very likely it is because the Buddha knew that the four foundation of mindfulness is such a powerful cultivation that it can lead to at least the realization of the anagami state. If some form of clinging is yet present, the other reason could be that the sotapan and sakadagami are still not free from the fetters of ill will and sensual desire, and they still have to come back to the sensual realm for at least one more life. This is the reason why the sakadagami are also called one's returner, whereas anagami is called a non-returner, one who has no more delusion but still has some form of minor clinging or conceit. The anagami will be born in the pure abode within the form of Brahma realm. So now you understand, because Satipatthana Sutta, you do the foundation, especially third foundation, Cittanupassana, you will root out sensual desire and ill will, which is the fourth and fifth factor. That's why you will at least realize an anagami. Why is the Bodhisattva way of cultivation not much emphasized in the Theravada tradition? What is emphasized is mainly the sainthood way, accumulating to arahantship. You interested in this question? Oh, interested. How many of you not interested? I answered the handful of leaves. Oh, no wonder I can't find Jin Hao. He took the book and read. I need to borrow your book. There's a lady who asked the question of dependent origination. Yeah, Paticca Samuppada. He wants to know the seven universes. I will read to her after this. Because I don't have memory, I don't remember all these things anymore. But I can roughly tell you most of them. So if you want the more accurate one, you read my book. Brother, this is my answer. The Buddha at that time in Kosambi gathered a handful of leaves in his hand and explained to the bhikkhu then its essential meaning. The Buddha said, even so, monk, many other things that I have realized, fully realized, but not declared out to you. Few other things I have declared out to you. And why, monk, have I not declared to you? They, monk, are indeed not conducive or not useful, and are not essential for the holy life of purity. They do not lead to disenchantment, to dispassion, to detachment, to tranquility, to full understanding, to cessation, to enlightenment, and to Nibbana. That's why they are not declared by me. So the Buddha knew that the era, during the era, the condition was such that the sainthood way we are cultivating, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, is the fastest and the most appropriate. Hence the teaching then. The other reason could also be because Bodhisattva way is so much longer, need aeons and aeons of cultivation to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfection. And this way is so much more difficult. To be a Bodhisattva, one must have very great compassion and a very big heart to come back for the living being. And they have to vow to save the limitless living being. The supramundane mind, via this great compassion and vow of theirs, must arise to cause them to come back as Bodhisattva, to cultivate the perfection. Otherwise, after arahantship, the form and mind will cease upon parinibbana, and there is no more birth. Then the next question. Can you elaborate on the two aspects of five aggregate of form and mind? The first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is as a human being. As a human being, we have a physical form or body and a mind. This one, for those who are new, better listen. The Buddha subdivided the mind into four more aggregates of feeling, perception, activity of mind or sankhara, and consciousness. Since the mind is the knowing element, and anything that the mind knows is the form in the mind. Hence, you also have the five mental aggregates of form and mind within every moment of sense experience or sense door consciousness. This is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. And the external form enters the mind via the mental aggregates of perception, memory, perception, and knowledge, or sanya. Like the external form of the Buddha image, how does this external form enter the mind? Via the seeing consciousness and mental perception via memory. This second aspect, which is the five mental aggregates of form and mind that arise and pass away with every moment of sense experience, is the more important one that the Buddha talked about under his dependent origination or paticca-samuppada teaching. The text mostly explains the 12 links under the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, with the 12 links occurring over three lifespan. And this type of paticca-samuppada is not much use. It's of not much use. It explained that dependent on the first link of ignorance or avijja, it conditioned karmic volition. So sankhara, one of the meaning is also karmic volition, karmic activity. Then karmic volition conditioned rebirth consciousness or vijnana, and dependent on rebirth consciousness, form and mind or namarupa, the human being, first aspect come to be. Dependent on the human being, the six sense basis of salayatana comes to be. To them, this is the only usual logical way of explaining. Whereas the 12 link using the second aspect can also be explained if one understands how our mind functions or operates as taught by the Buddha. According to the Buddha, the dependent origination occurs within every moment of sense door consciousness. That is, dependent on ignorance, not understanding the truth and wanting to know, it conditions mental activity, mundane perception and thinking. Then dependent on thinking and mental volition, it creates mental contact, the trigger of mental and thought consciousness instead of rebirth consciousness. Because the mind is also an organ, like the physics experiment. So when you think, you make contact, that's how mental consciousness come to be. Then dependent on this mental consciousness, the content of consciousness will follow to arise the five mental aggregates of form and mind, second aspect. Then dependent on this form and mind, there must be the six sense basis. Hence, the flow of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. This second aspect is seldom taught because it is very difficult for most cultivators to have the understanding to share, unless they themselves have realized the Paticca-samubbada happening within their own form and mind. Okay, so now it's clear. Question 4. Why is that my mindfulness could only sustain for a while and I find it very difficult to cultivate daily mindfulness when I'm working? You got that problem or not? How many of you got that problem? Oh, you all got that problem. You remember I said, if in the midst of daily life you cannot be mindful continuously at least for 5 seconds, you are still heedless. Understand? 5 seconds also tak boleh, how to have ever mindful. So that's why your mindfulness must be stable. And to do that, you must have the spiritual faculty, you must have the faith, everything. Then you must have some form of wisdom born of the spiritual faculty. When sati samadhi is there, you must develop the initial wisdom, at least the contemplative wisdom. Then only avijja weaken. When avijja is weakened, what happens? It will not condition so much sankhara or thinking, heedlessness. That's why if you don't straighten your view, what happens? Every moment of sense experience, you're very capable. Everything also want to know. Everything also want to get involved and comment. Neighbor's problem. See newspaper headline, also comment. Receive WhatsApp, also reply, comment. So much activity is because the mind has not developed the right view and right understanding. If there is good intention to help people understand, then you can reply, but mindfully, heedfully. But if you are not ready, it becomes what? Kepo, isn't it? So all this, I hope people understand. Anyway, you listen to my answer. When you understand what sati or mindfulness is, then you will know how to train your mind to be heedful throughout the day. And daily mindfulness can be developed and stabilized even in the midst of life and work. When I was cultivating about 26 plus years ago, that was the time this book, this talk was given. I was also working as a civil engineer, and the place I worked, according to my boss and my predecessor, was like a madhouse. I told you before. I was the head of maintenance and technical department of the property office, a super skilled post with a staff strength of 800 plus workers. Responsible for the overall upkeep, maintenance and development of 1 and 2 branch university campus. This job comes with a lot of responsibility and work pressure, yet I was able to cultivate, and my daily mindfulness was not a problem. So it all depends on you. If you are sincere and serious about life, then the cultivation will take off, and there will be no more problem. You must know how to plan and organize your work well. Then you will be able to do it, like what I did. Within a period of 2 to 3 months, the whole madhouse department was transformed, and I was able to settle down to do my cultivation, and soon I became quite free after I had managed to standardize into annual contract most of the essential routine maintenance work. That was the reason why while working I can still meditate daily. Off and on can still go for meditation retreat and spiritual trip, etc., with my wife and my 2 children, age 4 and 6. I follow a very strict religious routine, daily religious routine, and meditate very often. I will meditate early morning when I woke up, before I go to work at office, at lunch break, and whenever I have free time and before I sleep, even during meeting. Then later on, when my daily mindfulness meditation has stabilized, I was able to meditate throughout the day and even into my sleeping moment. Like I hardly sleep and I was fully aware and awake most of the time. Just now a few Kayamita came and see me. I was full of joy. They also told me this few days here, they like fully aware, no need to sleep. Oh. How come they can do it? It's depend on you, understand or not? It can be done. Not only I did it, these people also can do it. Then the next question is, what is the difference between forest and ordinary city monk? This type of question I also want to know. Nothing to do with you. Forest monk and city monk. Anyway, I answer them. It's just different terminologies used to describe these two different types of monk. The forest monk are those of the forest tradition, especially those within the outskirts of Thailand, where they still practice the forest tradition as laid down by the Buddha. That is, they cultivate following the Vinaya and the Sutta, so as to be worthy of offering. And also on a daily basis, they go for Pindapat or alms round following the Buddha's tradition. However, the ordinary city monk who stay in the city, monastery or temple do not usually go for Pindapat or alms round, and they are usually more scholarly. And since they tend to have more interaction with the worldly people or lay people, their worldly duties are more, but they also cultivate following the Vinaya and Sutta. It is a matter of preference or choice, and it is up to the individual. Both types of monks can still cultivate Buddha Dhamma because they are ordained monks following the rules and the teaching with Dhamma Vinaya as laid down by the Buddha. So now you understand, forest tradition more strict, more disciplined, and progress faster. But there are some city monks who also can progress, but very few, relatively less, because a lot of duty, interaction with lay people. You know what duty or not? Funeral, they call you Ta Chai. Understand? Or? They invite you house dana, invite you this, invite you that. Then any problem also, they go temple, they look for you. Then you have to go. Then cash goes also you. Then weakness, marriage also you. Sometimes more good also you. Newborn baby. So you most of the time, whole day, appointment full. So unless you know daily mindfulness, very difficult for them to practice and cultivate. Understand? Whereas forest tradition, they have this training, they go Pindapat, they are mindful. They make sure they follow the tradition so that they are worthy of offering. Then they really diligently follow very good routine while in the forest. So these other monks, if they are serious, they will progress much faster. But doesn't mean there is no good monk in city, understand? There are many good monks. Last time our chief reverend, Kesri Damandana, city monk, very good monk. He did his what they call Dhammaduta work very well. He is very good at introducing people to Buddhism and teach the basic understanding. But if you want to progress and penetrate further, you have to move on your own and get your own teacher and all that. I had a lot of gratitude towards Chief Reverend. That's why later on, after I understood the Dhamma, I personally went to talk to him and thank him. He was full of joy. I said, because of you, I went into the Dhamma without any doubt. His book, What Buddhists Believe, first edition, the red color one, very thin. First time, that time I was searching for truth in 1971. Then one classmate sister passed me the book. Then I read through, I was full of joy. He was the one that told me all the rite and ritual that my mother do. Like pray to deity, make offering, then can negotiate one, bargain one. You help me make sure my son pass exam. No sickness, recover from all this, got good homia, good life, good blessing. Then I offer you more. I offer you chicken. I offer you the pokey. Wow, I say, if that is Buddhism, sorry, I don't want to learn. Then I saw in the Chief Reverend book, these are Chinese traditional practices. Taoist practice, you know, nothing to do with the Buddha Dhamma. Then I open up and find out what is the Buddha Dhamma. The moment he explained the essence of the Buddha's teaching, I just read the Four Noble Truths. You know. Straight away, my nature was full of joy. Then it tell me, no need to search. This is the true one. If 2,500 over years, this so-called Buddha, the being, can summarize all his understanding into just Four Noble Truths, he is the real one. Well, at that time, very funny. You know, my nature knew. You know, even if I had the enlightenment or the awakening of the Buddha, I cannot summarize all my understanding into Four Noble Truths. That's why the Pacheka Buddha, they don't have a sasana because they cannot put into Four Noble Truths. They cannot have a, what they call, a prototype or format of teaching to teach people. It's not easy unless you are Sammasambuddha, otherwise you cannot understand all this and can summarize everything into just Four Noble Truths. That's why after that I was full of joy. I tell myself, this is so beautiful. Just Four Noble Truths, very simple. It summarized to me all of life, you know, both the mundane and the supramundane. Then I understand this truth. They are the secret of life, you know, that I know how to live life. You know. That's why I never look back after that. I go all out, no more doubt, no more search. Just all out for the Dhamma. Okay, part 3. How to cultivate the second turning of Chintamaya Panya, or inquiry, contemplation and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. This one very good. If you want to understand, you should listen. Inquiry. What must you inquire? You must inquire, why did the Buddha say this? It is because the Buddha knew we need to inquire, reflect and contemplate into the truth he has proclaimed, so that we can truly understand what this first noble truth of dukkha or suffering is. So this first inquiry will let you understand, because if you don't know what is suffering, means what? Yeah? Means what? You are suffering without you knowing that you are suffering. Understand or not? You suffer without knowing that this is dukkha. That's why you keep on holding it. Understand? Oh, depressed already, some more keep on holding it and get yourself burned and tormented more and more until you go into depression. So this is how, when you understand the first noble truth of dukkha, you will be very, very clear and wary of all this reality. Then you will diligently cultivate to make sure you understand. That's why the Buddha said, if you don't have the wisdom as taught by him, suffering will arise when you confront them. This inquiry can allow us to sincerely reflect, contemplate and inquire deep into this first noble truth of dukkha, to truly understand what dukkha is before we confront it, so that we can be wary of it. Oh, I know all the time, W-A-R-Y. Yeah, you are correct, Mr. Sia. Thank you. Yeah, this word is correct. This will also enable us not to be caught in dukkha or suffering. We are not knowing that we are all already suffering. How can I develop the understanding of what dukkha is? That is the second inquiry. When you know what they are, then you ask yourself, how can I develop the understanding? Means one can do it via the above reflection, contemplation and inquiry into the 5 daily contemplation as recommended by the Buddha, with a very calm and composed mind, filled with sadha, virya and sati, the first 3 of the 5 spiritual faculty, following what we have done during the sutta class. For further detail, please refer to the recording. We are web link as done by Brother Sui An again. So he sent you the soft copy, you go and open it up. The second noble truth, second turning. The Buddha said, this cause of suffering, of the arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned. So the inquiry is the same. Why did the Buddha say this? That is craving, which is the cause of one's suffering is to be abundant. So the answer is, if craving is not abundant, we will continue to suffer. That's why it has to be abundant. Then how can I abandon it? Ah, this is more important, isn't it? Correct? Oh, then how? To reflect deeply into the Buddha's four right effort. That is to purify your thought, action and speech and livelihood. Then the five daily contemplation advice, as advised by the Buddha, followed by the Dhamma on impermanence, suffering and non-self or anatta nature of the five aggregates of formless mind. To use the four right effort and five ways as taught by the Buddha to abandon the unwholesome thought and the craving that will condition our unwholesomeness. This one is very important. The five way I taught you already, we have gone through. To abandon the unwholesome thought and craving that will condition our unwholesomeness or unwholesome action, speech and thought. As we all understand finally, only wisdom free, get this understood, not all the fantastic meditation. So to use the fourth way, which is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it to develop the wisdom to free. And this is the best way thus far. This fourth way uses heedfulness to cultivate the mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases via Dhamma Nupassana. Mindfulness of Dhamma cultivation to trace the origination factor leading to the wisdom, thereby enabling one to understand clearly how your mind has been tricked into attachment or clinging and reactive mode via one's delusion, because there is no yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Craving born of delusion is the cause of our attachment and clinging to our five aggregates of form and mind that condition our suffering. You can also refer to the Six Heart Sutta, Six Heart Sutta Part 3, dated 18 March 12. Question 1, short notes for detail. Okay, we move on. The third turning, the third noble truth, second turning, sorry. So all this, I think you read on. You go back and read on, because I don't have time. Okay, 12 Sutta note. Oh, I haven't answered this question. What's the time now? Sorry, I got 6 more minutes. I got to answer this question. This question by our sister Gladys. You mentioned upon contact 7 universal arise. Can you elaborate on this? You try to get hold of this 12 link, Paticca Samuppada book. If you don't have, you let me know. Then when I go back to PJ, I will pass a copy to you. When are you going back to Penang? Oh, directly. The soft copy is sent to you already. I tell you the page. Which page is it? Oh, okay. Good. Let me, show me. Jin Hao. Thank you. Wow, Sadhu Ingvi. Wow, means she has read it all. Wow, very good. Okay, you can get a copy. Page 10. Pass a copy to her. Page 10. The third foundation of mindfulness, Citta Nupassana. Now we move on to the third foundation of mindfulness. The third foundation is Citta Nupassana. We have to develop the mindfulness on the consciousness itself and its content. The content of consciousness is very important because upon contact, not only feeling arises. That's why I say it's multidimensional. But at the same time, consciousness also arises. And like what we have understood from the physics experiment, when the switch is turned on, the light bulb lights up, That is, the seven universal also arise. So upon contact, feeling is one of the seven universal. Then you perceive, perception is another universal. Then there is this reaction, the stirring of the mind. Then all the other fields. So when you start to understand, you will come to know that upon contact, not only feeling and perception arise, but consciousness and other things also arise. Since your mind is also an organ, so in a similar way, when you think, the mind make contact. Then upon contact, mental consciousness come to be. He didn't describe the seven. Never mind. I see whether I can recall or not. Okay, this is Arab. Oh, yeah. Page 171 of Heart Sutta. Wow, very good. Wow, see, these people got study one. Page 8. Oh, okay, sorry. Page 8, sorry, yeah. Oh, Ing B, thank you. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So, the moment of sense experience, what happened? First universal is contact, anasana. Okay? So, seven universal. Then second one is what? Upon contact, they say feeling arise. But simultaneously, the mind inside there got four aggregate, understand? It can feel, it can also perceive, understand? So that's why perception is also inside there, that's what it can do. Actually, you have to perceive first, understand? Perceive, see. You know what happened? In the seeing, there's a seeing consciousness. Before you perceive, there is no feeling, understand? Because it's just that consciousness. But the moment you perceive, your views and opinion condition you to react to this feeling, understand? Then feeling is no longer pure feeling. That's why it will arise craving. Then this is the next link, feeling, condition, craving. This one happened, then due to your wrong view, it conditioned craving. Understand that? Okay? Then the Buddha say you must have attention, manasikara. If you don't pay attention, you will not stay there. Understand that? Then after that, you must have ekagata. Means like one-pointedness like that. But actually it's the mind. Develop that focus. Then six. Life force is one of them, yeah. The Pali word is what? Indriya someone. Read to me. That one very difficult to pronounce. How to pronounce Pali? Indriya or Jivita. Jiva is life, Jivata, Jiva is life, correct. Okay, very good. Then the last one is volition, your mental intention. Understand? Right? Volition. Volition or mental intention. So all these are your content or consciousness. But your content and consciousness must have these seven, because these are universal. You know what is universal? Common to all consciousness. These are the seven universal. Common to all consciousness. All consciousness must have this. Then it arises. So this is Abhidhamma. Okay? So answer your question. Yeah. Cetasika is just the mind state. Understand? The 52 cetasika within Sankara. They call it the mental concomitant. They always use the word concomitant. Cetasika. they separate this into all the various 52. That's why there are 52 cetasikas within Sankara. Originally it was 50, but they add in Vedana and Sanya. The reason why they separate Vedana and Sanya out, feeling and perception out, is because these two are very important. Because feeling, condition, craving, the Buddha wants you to know that link. Then feeling is the one that without wisdom and understanding will condition craving, which is grasping, which will condition grasping. And this is the cause of suffering. That's why this feeling, he wants you to understand. Then upon contact, the feeling is there first. But without wisdom, you cannot cut a feeling. That's why in the early days, when I heard these people, even the book writer, the monk teacher, you must know dependent origination, is it? Upon contact, feeling arise. You cut a feeling, no craving. Logical or not? Very logical, isn't it? Then you go and practice. Cut a feeling. You go and try. Without wisdom, how to cut the nasana? Without wisdom, it will stir wrong view. And it will become craving. That's why so fast you cannot stop. You say, become that thing. Brother Pang, he asked that question in Thursday class. Brother Teo, how come the dependent origination is so fast? It's not so fast. You don't have unisom manasikara yet. But it's really fast in the mind because it's very, very fast. Straight away, I say craving already. Emotion already. Oh. So he was asking me, how to deal? So how? I say, don't worry. Now, at this stage, you are still going through the training. When your mindfulness is very, very stable, you develop the wisdom and straightening of your view, then you know what happened. Yoni Sokmanasikara, which is the wisdom at the moment of sense experience, will come out. Then it will stop. That's why it will not become craving. It will become pure feeling. Where you say, thing is just the way that it is. Understand? Not? I have to accept. I accept them for what they are. So I don't have to react. I don't have to stir. I don't have to do anything. So that one will tell me. Then the other one is impermanent. Sabbe Sankara Anicang. Think also like that, don't think also like that, stop. Especially depression people. If you can do that, it will reverse your depression. Because that heedless thinking that continuously create the tape recorder that make you depressed, if you can just say, just a thought, sabbe sankara anicang, forget about it, no need to know, no need to think. Because this one, if I pay attention, what happened? Suffering will arise there. The unarisen asava, defilement, become more. The arisen one become lagi kaulat. So you understand why they are unfit for attention. It's not the four noble truth. Understand not? Okay? So this one, page 8. Gladys, page 8. What's the time now? Oh, you have to go for dinner. Yeah, 5:35, I have to go for dinner. Oh, I forgot. Our boy got one question. What was your question? You forgot already, yeah? Then forget about it, never mind. Never mind, never mind. It's okay. Those who need to go for dinner, you can go. Or you want to wait for this question finish, you also can.
About the gateway, right, Brother Teo? You mentioned that as long as we listen to Brother Teo, if we have enough, if we have full awareness, the gateway will open, right?
I never say that.
No.
I say you must relax, you forgot. You must silent, you forgot. You must stay at the heart and must have faith, you forgot. Oh, must have full awareness. I beg to say that. I say relax, silent. Then have faith.
Is that applied on live telecast only or recording and reading also can?
What do you mean by live telecast?
It means face to face.
Where got such thing one? Face to face I stay in front of my wife every day, that's why face to face. What for I stand in front of you? As long as you are attentively listen with the three criteria. I already told you, relax, silent, don't try to know. Listen from here. They have faith. Just listen. Let it flow in. It will activate. But activate, no use. You know why? Because you don't have the first three. You cannot go in. No entry. Because you don't know how to relax, maintain awareness continuously and silent with the wisdom. If your mind, Sankara, is still active, it cannot locate on. You know what is this gateway? It's like the wall, one color only. Then inside that whole wall, there is only one needle point. You go and feel. That needle point is so small. The gateway there also you don't know. Unless you use a very small needle everywhere, poke, 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 poke. This is physical, no? That wall, you use one needle and poke, poke until when, I don't know. Understand? That's why you cannot locate, because you cannot see. Then this one, you cannot open it or touch it, not to say open it. You cannot go inside. It's actually no resistance on. It's like that door, no friction on. Without friction on. But if your mind is not silent, still, no thought, without delusion, it cannot go in on. That's why only the enlightened one can actually finally locate.
So in other words, we are blocking ourselves.
Not you lah, your form and mind lah. Understand or not? Because your form and mind with delusion cannot locate.
It's totally different from the heart chakra, right?
Different. That one is your chakra and your nadi is different. This one is there is this. They call gateway, not got a gate there, no, where you open the gate. It's for that thing to locate and go in. Understand? Like an entrance. But you cannot describe it, right? Because this one, only the one that go Bodhisattva way, they will locate it and go in. The rest that know the technology, that's why with my vibration, my this pure energy, I can activate it and open it when you listen attentively like that. Understand not? Just like how he opened. But if they use that for energy field, you are not going to be enlightened. Understand not? That was what the first group went and all attracted to energy field, consciousness. You can become very powerful in consciousness. But because you don't use that silent mind that is already very much more easier to be aware, but it takes you direct to the true mind. Then you should use that to be aware and develop the four foundation of mindfulness to cultivate the wisdom. Then you must have the prototype, the Dhamma. Otherwise, you go and research and find out what are the nature's law that govern life and existence. Even one law, karma, take you aeons, I tell you. Then how to find? That's why sasana is very important. The Buddha show it to you all. And like a prototype, the car. They show you that prototype. To drive it is very easy. To modify and improve on it is very easy. That's why over the year, the teaching become very powerful when people understand. So, now roughly, you can understand. I ask you one question. Why this prototype is very difficult. But human being managed to do it, the car, automobile. Let me ask you one question. How do you know that there is an automobile that you can learn to drive? With the shift stick, not automatic transmission gear. Even after the car come out with a tester and the tissue driving one, driving school's instructor, you also fail. You also don't know how to drive. Understand? Then how did that fellow know that I can build a car that you can learn how to drive? I ask you that question. Can understand? Then even the white brother, how they know can fly like that? Because they saw the bird fly. Then they also built something. You know how many times they try and fail? The two of them I saw in the documentary, the old picture, pre-war. They push this so-called glider. Then they jump off the cliff. Wow, I tell you. Because of this type of people, that's why we are very lucky. Over the last 100 years, our aeroplane technology took off. But don't be a hero. Not everybody can become like that. You jump off the cliff, never see you again. Because you also not sure whether that one work or don't work. And this one, you must test it out so that it can fly. And he really, I think he must have put on all the cushion and everything so that he fall, protected with the helmet, everything. So understand. Okay.
Then about the gateway again, right? Is it same with the mind organ?
Aiyo, nothing to do with that lah. It's beyond thought, beyond mind. Don't try to know lah. If you pay attention to all this, which is not the Four Noble Truths, you're wasting your time, unfit for attention. It arises more doubt. Then don't go and check internet. Internet also you can't find. But it's not in the internet. Where people haven't written about this. Okay? Okay, sadhu. So you go for dinner, huh? Oh, sorry, 5:45 already. Okay, I see you after this. Then at night we can have official puja, huh? What time? 6:45.